Butler was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American.
One.
We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry?" He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered. And you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds."
Thank you.
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. There is one national anthem in the United States. It is the Star-Spangled Banner. I'm joined by that great patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and you are right. There is one, only one national anthem.
That is correct. And unfortunately, the woke culture today, including the NFL, the National Football League, sickens me. It sickens the fact that they've ruined a great sport, football. Last night at about 6:19, I got a text from Holger and said he just turned on the Super Bowl. And guess what's playing? The Black National Anthem. So, well, thank you very much for letting me know. I'll turn on the Munsters for the next hour and a half, and then I'll watch my pre-recorded Perry Mason for the next 4 hours, and I did. The woke NFL can ruin a great game. There is no need to be playing this so-called Black National Anthem. There is no Black National Anthem. If they want to be considered Americans, we are Americans. We are one America, the United States of America. But the woke Marxist culture has other plans for America, including the division of America, driving that racial wedge of divide into America. And now we have to be subjected to this woke culture who's shoving down our throats this so-called Black National Anthem. There is one national anthem, whether you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, you're yellow, you're green, you're an alien, you're an illegal alien. It is the United States of America. It is the Star-Spangled Banner. So as long as the NFL wants to continue to shove their wokeness down our throats, I, for one, am not going to watch the NFL. I could care less about the NFL right now. I understand the Eagles and the Chiefs squared off yesterday. It was a great game. Mahomes gets his second, and Andy Reid get their second Super Bowl victory. They beat the Eagles 38-35. Don't know how the game unfolded, and actually, I don't care because the NFL has just ruined their sport. Okay, and until they have the balls to stand up and say there is one Star-Spangled, there's one national anthem of the United States, it is the Star-Spangled Banner, and Star-Spangled Banner, we're going to unite around the Star-Spangled Banner, okay, the NFL can go to hell. I don't care about the NFL any longer, okay, because this woke culture is nothing but a Marxist culture of division. What's your take on it? Did you watch the game? I didn't. So.
I did watch the game, and you're right, it was a great game, and Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. Even injured, he won that game. Yeah. Oh, him and Kelsey, the Kelsey brothers, he had a lot of drama going on. They didn't talk much. You had a set of the Kelsey brothers. One was Philly.
Tight end.
Was the Philly, and the other one was Kansas City. The odds of two brothers playing each other in opposing teams at the Super Bowl is about 1 billion to 1, and that was quite exciting. They didn't make a big deal about that. I mean, they mentioned it. It should have been a major highlight.
Well, they're white, but, too, so that was the woke NFL is they're white, so go ahead.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton, the country star, bluegrass star, sang the national anthem. He did a very good job. But you're right. We had a black national anthem. Now, why not a different racial national anthem? To me, that's racist. A black national anthem Does that mean that all black people need their own national anthem, that the national anthem of the United States of America is not enough for them? What is the messaging that they're trying to show? Well, reading some of the articles, you'd say, well, the black national anthem was written when there was slavery, not necessarily slavery. It was bad for black people back when it was written. And so that was then, and then this is now, and they're going to sing it anyway. I think it's wrong. They had to end racism in the end zone. But to their credit, nobody took a knee, Vito. It was the players were respectful during the national anthem. And Carrie Lake did not stand up for the black national anthem, so kudos to her. I would have been sitting down right there next to her.
And, Boy wants to know, bring it on, Boy wants to know, did they shoot down any balloons over the game?
Ah, no balloons. There was a flyby, though.
Okay. Yes, I heard
but they
all
should have
female.
Shot down they should have shot down Rihanna, Boyd. I tell you, during the halftime show, Rihanna, I think that's her name. Anyway, the music is horrible, and she did the crotch pull, and then she made it even worse by sniffing her fingers on stage. It was disgusting.
I don't get it.
I mean, in the privacy of your own home, yeah, you know, it's still kind of gross, but I'm sure people do it. And but to do it on stage in front of millions of people, to do the crotch grab and then sniff your fingers is kind of disgusting. And
yeah.
That's who they had as their that's who they had as the entertainment for Super Bowl 57. Meanwhile, in the audience was Paul McCartney. Not in the audience, but he was in the stands watching the game. I think they should have dragged Paul McCartney's happy British ass onto this in the middle of halftime and let him do the show, the halftime show with Chris Stapleton. Now, that would have been good. But, no, they didn't do it. They had to bring the crotch grabber.
And you know, sadly, I believe that the majority of black Americans don't want to identify with the garbage that people like Rihanna have pulled. You know? I mean, and it's just there is why we have to be forced, why these cultures have to be forced, and it's like I don't get it. I really don't, but I do get it. I understand the Marxist culture of division, and it's exactly what is being done and shoved down our throats here in the United States today. And whether it's a global movement, whether it's a cause that was started by Obama or by the Clintons or by the progressive movement in 1913, the issue is it's dividing America, and it's doing so by design, and there is no reason for it. And it's time that we stand up and we tell these organizations like the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, there is no room for that, okay? We want to watch sports. I don't want no political bullshit, okay? You know, the athletes are entitled to their opinions. We all are entitled to our opinions. The fact is, I want to watch a football game, okay? I want to watch a baseball game. I don't want to watch some woke culture shove their radicalism down my throat. Just play freaking football. Okay, like they do on Saturdays with college football. Play football. Okay, play the national anthem. Hail your country, which is the United States of America. Honor the United States of America, like the National Hockey League does. They play two anthems, the United States of America and Canada. And both teams on both sides, okay, of the ice, they stand up for each's national anthem. There is one national anthem in the United States, there's one national anthem in Canada, and it's played. Enough of this garbage. Really, truly, enough of this garbage. You were telling me about the Philadelphia Eagles coach, Nick Sirianni, and he was in tears during the national anthem, the true national anthem.
Yes, he had an emotional moment, and tears were streaming down his eyes. It was beautiful to watch, and yet nobody talked about it. Nobody. Might have gotten a mention for a second, but that was about it. It should have. It was so American, so unscripted. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure he was very, very proud. His first Super Bowl head coach, you know, just the you reached the pinnacle of your football career and being a head coach, and then not to mention you know you're one of the few to reach that magical game, which is the Super Bowl. So, well, congratulations. Too bad that the Philadelphia Eagles didn't pull it off, but it looked like they kept the game close. So, backup. Yep. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Chad Henne retired after the Super Bowl. He sent out a tweet saying, I think it was a tweet saying he was going to retire. So he got his second Super Bowl ring and with the Kansas City Chiefs, mind you, and then he retired at the age of 37. Chad Henne was the product of the University of Michigan, where he was a four-year starter under Lloyd. Somebody help me out there. Lloyd Carter, I believe it was. He was the head coach of the University of Michigan. So congratulations to Chad Henne and great career. You know, hey, he was a backup quarterback, great career, 37 years old. You know, that means he was 15 or 16 years into the league. So, you know, he just walks away from the game. So I'm sure he'll have a career as a coach and or an announcer in his future if he dares to go down that road. So. PGA news, we usually start off in it, but we'll go to it now. The Wild and Raucous Waste Management Open was held in Phoenix, Arizona. Scottsdale this week. It's traditionally held on the NFL Super Bowl week, and the final round is played traditionally on Super Bowl Sunday. Last year's winner, Scottie Scheffler, was in the field to defend his very first PGA Tour title, and the man did not disappoint. Suddenly, after Friday's round, Scheffler rose to the top of the leaderboard. Also rising to the top for Saturday's round was Jon Rahm, who was on a roll and has been on a roll the last 4 months, winning four of his last six tournaments around the world. This guy is playing fantastic. He was paired with Scheffler on Saturday, and again on Sunday, alongside Canadian Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor, not a known name, a rookie, you know, kind of a young guy. He had played very well, and Sunday's round was a shootout between Rahm, Scheffler, and Taylor. And Scheffler maintained anywhere from a one-shot lead to a three-shot lead all day Sunday. But the first to fade was Jon Rahm, which was surprising. And it appeared each time that Rahm made a birdie, so did Scheffler to remain one or two strokes ahead. Taylor did make it interesting because he tied Scheffler for the lead at one point. I believe it was the 12th hole. And then Scheffler dropped a bomb on the 13th hole. Did you see that when he drained that eagle putt? Takes a two-shot lead. Nick Taylor managed to gut out a birdie, so he now falls one shot behind, and Rahm was like four shots back, so it was over for Rahm. But hole number 16, this is a freaking zoo. It's the famed par three. The Thunderbirds organization runs that tournament, the Waste Management Tournament, and they built a stadium for this hole, for the third hole, 16th hole par three. And if you don't play golf, par threes are short, you know, from, you know, 100 yards to 230, 240 yards. And this hole plays anywhere from 125 to 178, 180 yards. And it's all enclosed now. And it used to be they'd had two stories, you know, two tiers. Now they've got three. And they had 20,000 people that surround the 17th, the 16th hole, the par three, 20,000 people. And the last group was Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Nick Taylor. All three managed to miss the green. They hit the green, the ball rolls off, they all had a chip up. Scheffler didn't make a great chip. He was the furthest one from the hole off the green. Anyways, he leaves himself a 20-foot putt thereabouts. The other two leave themselves between 15 and 12 foot. Scheffler drains his putt for a par to keep a two-shot lead. Well, Rahm and Taylor both bogeyed a hole, dropping another shot. So Taylor now is two shots behind. Scheffler then birdies the 17th hole, the par four. Taylor pars it. Jon Rahm's not in the picture any longer. Scheffler walks up the 18th fairway after hitting a beautiful drive, pushed it a little bit right, but he has a three-shot lead. And over Nick Taylor. Taylor makes a birdie, Scotty makes a par. Scotty Scheffler wins back-to-back the Waste Management Open and wins by two shots over Nick Taylor. Rahm finished a solo third, five shots back, and this was Scheffler's fifth career PGA Tour victory, which is what catalyzed, it was a catalyst last year when he won this one. Only seven champions have won back-to-back at the Waste Management Open: Ben Hogan, Jimmy Demerit, Lloyd Mangrum, Arnold Palmer, Johnny Miller, and Hideki Matsuyama, who have successfully defended their title. Palmer did it 3 years in a row. So congratulations to Scheffler. It was great, Al, wasn't it? I mean, I was too excited.
It was definitely a great tournament. Congratulations, Scheffler. But you're missing the one of the most interesting people was at the tournament, a gentleman sporting a mullet. He spiced up a PGA golf tournament in Scottsdale over the weekend when he stripped down to his snuggy undies and led police across the greenery before performing an impressive spread eagle belly flop into a pond. He then swam quite a distance as he evaded police, a distance across the water, until police finally did catch up to him, ending the amusing shenanigans with an arrest. He was charged with trespassing, disorderly conduct, failure to obey orders, and attack with a dead weapon, according to Mediate. So, never a dull moment at the PGA Waste Management Open.
I did not see that. Oh, my goodness gracious.
How did that not make it onto prime time?
I don't know. That is incredible.
I mean, I could see Madden drawing it out on the playbook. It would have been wonderful. It was a well-executed streaking, but not a full streak, but a partial streak. He kept it going. Isn't that funny?
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yes. It's
so
hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Only in America. I mean, this place is it attracted. So, of course, with the Super Bowl was in Arizona, as was this particular tournament. So it was pretty hectic in there.
Well, people start drinking at 9 a.m., Vito. Oh, so
there was people
by
lining
lunch,
up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. To attend. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge. The crowd was huge. No masks in sight. It was wonderful.
Yeah. 1 o'clock in the morning standing in line. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's like a big party. Drinks start flowing at 9, so by noon everybody's halfway hammered, and by 2 they're getting naked and running all over the course. It's pretty awesome.
Well, you know, there's one thing that I liked about what they disclosed about the tournament is, like, they had free water stations there, and if you recycled your water bottle, you get free refills, and you know, that's very important. I would hope that would be something that all PGA events should incorporate for future events. That's a really good touch. One note, you know, last week we talked briefly and disclosed that there were two major earthquakes that hit Turkey and also affected Syria. It hit southern Turkey and northwestern Syria, including Aleppo. At that point, you know, we had disclosed there was 2,200 people had already been killed from that two powerful earthquakes, one at 7.8 magnitude, the other one at 7.5. Buildings collapsed. They trapped and crushed people, burying them alive. Well, today, about 2 o'clock in the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the death toll has surpassed 33,000 in both Turkey and Syria. Turkish President Recep Erdogan has begun to arrest builders. There were some clips of showing the authorities arresting contractors and builders on buildings that had collapsed. So this is a real big mess there, Al. Wow, I mean, 33,000. They're expecting the death toll to rise over 50,000 people.
Yeah, tragic. But, You know, I'm not surprised. We had spent some time in the Middle East, and what I learned from the trip is that as far as buildings go, and with the way the tax code is set up, I don't know about Turkey and Syria, but if a building is completed, then you pay full taxes. So what the builders would do is they'd build out all the half the building and then leave the other half undone, so it's permanently a work in process. Plus, in Syria and Turkey, the building codes probably aren't even there because mm-hmm. they're just made out of cinder block, rebar, and some concrete. So when you have an earthquake of that magnitude, the buildings are going to come down, whereas here in the United States, we have strict building codes, and as well as the Western world, strict building codes that keep buildings safe, and that is probably my guess is the one big reason why the death toll is so high. And what is even worse about that is that Israel immediately sent a 40-person triage team to help with to help find buried people, as well as giving medical care, along with the United States. We had sent a team over as well, and both were expelled due to threats of violence. Israel was the first to go. They were there, and then people threatened to kill them because they're Jews, so they left, and the United States teams were in some areas under attack as well. So how sad is that?
It's really sad because you have Erdogan on one hand pleading to the world to step up and help. You have other authorities in Turkey and Syria, you know, requesting help from the world. And then you have those that are helping, such as Israel and the United States, being threatened. You've got the Palestinian Authority bellyaching that too much attention is given to the earthquake in Turkey affecting Turkey and Syria. It's like are you reading this? I mean, could this be true? And it's like, what the hell's going on? I mean, you know, a tragedy has struck, okay? And you have the Palestinians are pissing and moaning about too much attention is being placed on the Turkish people. Did you happen to see some of the footage that came out of Turkey? I mean, seriously?
And the Palestinians are whining because they're not on the front page. What a bunch of...
Exactly.
This is why nobody likes the Palestinians. Nobody. Even Jordanians hate them. Remember when the King of Jordan kicked the Palestinians out during Black September?
Yeah.
Killed thousands on the way out because they started trying to have a coup in Syria and unseat the king. So he had them brutally expelled. And then all of a sudden, after they were expelled, then the Palestinians were created soon after that. So they were manufactured people, whining little bitches.
The Transjordanians, I believe their actual name is Transjordanian, correct?
Yes, you are correct, sir.
You are correct. Alex, what is Transjordanian? It's not a transvestite. You know.
It's not a Jordanian with gender issues.
A gender
it's
identity.
It's when trans used to mean transnational. My, how the definition of words has changed in five short decades.
You may have started something.
I'll call you a transnational. And then
there you go.
Explain that. You explain how you're not a gender bender.
Hey, you have to give a shout out to Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. Ana Paulina Luna, Una Paloma Blanca, was not taking any of the Washington Post, the woke Washington Post, the DNC Washington Post garbage. And she fired back, and pretty candidly, mind you, at a hit piece that the DNC Washington Post put out there. And it appears that when you're on the right of center and you're defined as a conservative or a Republican, And you're a person of color. You're Hispanic. You're right to be attacked by the left-wing media. And so instead of the Washington Post digging deeper into, I don't know, the corrupt Biden crime family, one could say that the Washington Post is in the bag for the Democrat National Committee, and not the Democratic National Committee, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. So the Washington Post, the left-wing DNC Washington Post, set their sights on Ana Paulina Luna, as they did trying to tear down, you know, Tim Scott, for, senator from South Carolina many years ago. So now they started questioning Ana Paulina Luna. And they contacted her mother, and they requested, the Washington Post, wanted a copy of Ana Luna's dead grandmother's death certificate to prove that she had died from AIDS, from an overdose, from a heroin overdose. And then they questioned whether her father was truly a Jew, and that they were practicing his Jews, I think Messianic Jews, if I'm not mistaken. So Ana Paulina Luna is a Republican. She is about 53 years old. She represents the 13th congressional district in in Florida, which is St. Petersburg, the Gulf Coast area, Palm Harbor, down south to Clearwater to St. Petersburg. And so the Washington Post decided that they were going to be the investigative journalists, right? They were going to go after Ana Paulina Luna because she's a Republican, she's Hispanic, and it's time for the left wing to go after anybody who's on the right. I mean, let's face it, they went after George Santos, they went after Tim Scott, and there's no boundaries where the left wing will go when it goes to attacking a woman, right? Remember who I was talking about, women's rights. You know, let's laud women, unless, of course, you're a conservative woman, unless, of course, you're a Republican woman, unless, of course, you're a very nice-looking, an attractive conservative, okay, who happens to be on the Freedom Caucus, a member of the United States House. It's okay for the left wing to denigrate, to demean, to attack, to assail, and to fabricate. And Ana Paulina Luna was not having any of that. And I can't believe, and I have to give her props, because she wasn't taking any crap from the DNC Washington Post. And she was absolutely surprised at the article that the Washington Post decided that they were going to write a hit piece about her and attack her integrity, attack her resume, thinking that they had something, you know, they had something that on this Republican woman. And imagine that, a woman who has attained a congressional seat, who is Hispanic, is assailed and attacked by the left wing. I am absolutely surprised. I mean, it's unbelievable, Al, that the DNC media outlets would absolutely attack a Republican woman, a conservative woman. I mean, what about women's rights, which is all hogwash by the left wing? Because if you're not on the left side of the aisle, okay, you're not a protected species like an AOC, like a fraudulent Rashida Mother effort to leave. You know, when you're an anti-Semite, and you're a racist and you're a bigot, you're a protected species if you're in the left wing. So congratulations to Ana Paulina Luna. I don't know if you saw or following this story, but I find it refreshing that somebody on the right actually has the intestinal fortitude to stand up and push back against the corrupt and dishonest left wing.
I think the story is going to get zero traction because it's just a manufactured story, and it's journalism at its worst.
It is. It truly is, Al. It goes to show the partisanship and how dishonest the left wing truly is. The left wing is absolutely dishonest. I mean, you know, it's one thing to question maybe a bill and the intent of a bill from the left wing, you know, from a party, an individual, okay? You know, why are you putting forth, you know, this green scam bill? It's understandable. But to manufacture a story in a way to try to denigrate, you know, this woman, okay? And all we hear from the left wing is, oh, women's rights and equality for women. And the very same people who are attempting to preach these lies, they have no problem going after a woman of color, Hispanic woman. They have no problem going after conservative women, and they have no problem going after a black conservative male as they did with Senator Tim Scott. And if you want any more proof that the left wing are a bunch of phonies and frauds, just follow the accounts of what's occurred just in the last week with Anna Paulina Luna and the Washington Post. It's disgraceful.
I mean what's the story is based on? Here's a woman whose relatives, generations past during World War II, were in the Wehrmacht, which was the Nazi party, fought for Hitler. Bad thing. But look at her today. Now she is a messianic Christian who identifies closely with the Jewish faith and Jewish traditions. I'd say that is probably can you have more than a 180 turn? This is like a 540-degree turn from what Grandpa was during World War II. So she should be commended for that, for changing her life and adopting this type of lifestyle. But, you manufacture news. You just want to bring people down. Well, I don't see anybody, you know, the British royal family, they had ties to the Nazi party, but nobody talks about that. Many
That's
in
right.
the Democrat Party in the United States were part of the KKK and supporters of Adolf Hitler and white supremacy. Mr. Byrd,
Robert KKK Byrd, who was a personal friend of Joe Lydon, right? Who was lauded by Lydon.
Yeah, Lion Biden. Yep, they were colleagues and friends along with Al Gore and so many others.
Yeah, that D.C. Senate Club, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about that but us, thank goodness.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest issue, well, one of the issues was she changed her name to her mother's name. And her it was Anna Paulina Meyerhofer. Okay, so... Yeah. Now the left wing is having, you know, they're having a hissy fit over it. But you know what? There's no reason to fabricate, you know, what the Anna Luna stands for. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, so good for her. She pushed back. She went ahead. She went after the Democrat National Committee's, you know, news outlet, the Washington Post. And she's not backing down. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate up for the good guys.
That's right. That's right. So the people of St. Petersburg made a really good choice, and she's not afraid to back it up. In crime, the Marxist mentality continues to amaze. In Oakland, California, a self-described anarchist and social justice advocate who owned a bake shop was killed in a violent robbery. Did you happen to see this story? The anarchist was making a bank deposit to a Wells Fargo branch when a car pulled up beside her and blocked her in, and this guy jumps out of the vehicle, breaks the window of her vehicle, and she jumps out of the car and she goes after. He stole her bank bag. So the Angel was her name, decides she's going to chase this scumbag. And, I'm sorry, it's probably not the politically correct term today. And so she ends up getting herself caught in the thief's car door. And now the thief, you know, she doesn't say, hey, I'm an anarchist and I'm a social justice warrior. Please stop. So the robber takes off and she is hanging on. Oh, she's caught in the door. She can't get out. He drags her for like 50 yards and she suffers multiple head injuries and she ends up dying. But here's the bizarre statement from her relatives. The family and friends said, we know Jen, her name is Jen Angel, would not want to continue the cycle of harm by bringing state-sanctioned violence to those involved in her death or to other members of Oakland's rich community. As a longtime social movement activist and anarchist, Jen did not believe in state violence or carceral punishment or incarceration as an effective or just solution to social violence and inequity. So I would like to know is how would you describe Jen Angel's death? Was it violent?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. It was an unsanctioned violence, which if Jen didn't believe in state violence or carceral punishment or incarceration as an effective or just a solution to social violence and inequity, I'm sorry, but America is not a lawless society as anarchists want. Okay. There are consequences for one's actions, and at least there should be. And to advocate for such lawlessness, this will not stop crime. It will only embolden the criminals to continue their lawless ways. So life should be valued a bit higher than the receipts that are in a bank bag getting ready to make a deposit. This radical notion of social violence and inequity is absolutely dumb. Police need to find this one criminal or these criminals and prosecute them to the fullest to prevent this type of incivility and barbaric act from never happening again. Because that's what it was, Al. It's an uncivilized, barbaric act. So all of this nicety that you want, all of this clean sheeting and woke nonsense is politically correct. You know, this to sit there about sanctioned state violence, that's bullshit. I mean, I don't know what these mindsets are of these anarchists, but this it's dumb. It's absolutely dumb. And this guy now will feel as though he's emboldened. He got away with stealing however much money he had. $500, $1,000, $400. How much could it have been? And you've devalued life enough because the guy gets away with $300 or $400. There's got to be consequences for this.
Sure. The suspects are known to police, which means that they likely have criminal records that are long and have abused a lot of people. So they kill this naive woman. And the family says, don't prosecute. Well, I'm sorry, crazy family. There's the rule of law. It becomes a state issue. They committed a crime against society. And once they're found, they will be tried for murder and put away so they can't do this to anyone else. And if these people want to live their life like that, that's fine. They can forgive murderers. They can do whatever they want. And what they can do is they can take that $138,000 of other people who gave them money who think like they do, which makes me even more crazy because there's more people out there like them with lots of money. Just give that and help the family if they want to do it. But these people need to go to jail. They need to go to jail now because they're going to hurt somebody else. Idiots.
This is California. This is the woke culture. This is the Marxist movement. This is a real cancer, you know? I mean, we should not be living in an uncivilized society. And this is exactly what the anarchists want. This is what we're witnessing around the country, not just in San Francisco and Oakland and Los Angeles, but also in New York and the big cities. And it's absolutely out of hand. I'm not saying that we should live in a police state, but there's got to be consequences for one's actions. And this mentality of a state sponsored, what was it? The state violence. Give me a break. State violence. I think Jen Angel's death was pretty violent, if you ask me. She didn't deserve to die that way, irrespective of what her thought process was.
Yeah, well, here's the type of person that she is. At her store, she reached out to her neighbors and friends for financial assistance when an unhinged man used a paving stone to smash her store's window. It was totally random and unfortunate, but she had to get financial help from others to help her with her problem. That's some kind of anarchist. She's a hypocrite and an idiot. And if I was to say that on Twitter, I'd get shut down even now, because you can't call people an idiot. Well, this woman's an idiot. I'm sorry she's dead, but she's an idiot. And all those people who gave money to her GoFundMe account are even stupider. Is stupider a word? It should be.
Oh, it should be. Not. Why not? We could start a new word.
I think they should all go to Canada. That's what I think.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Did you hear about Canada? Is that more story for later?
No. Go ahead.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
Were you referring to that?
No. Our glorious press secretary on one of the Sunday shows called Canada, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
I believe she was talking about the bilateral state working together in a bilateral way to take down the Chinese spy balloons, because Canada also had another. Yeah, had another issue. And then the United States had another issue over Lake Huron. So our press secretary, the press secretary, Jean-Pierre, was talking about this bicameral or bilateral working with Canada, with Canadian and forces, and bringing down the spy balloons.
Because Canada doesn't have F-22s to shoot down slow moving balloons. They have to have NORAD and the United States come to their rescue.
Canada.
Can I say Canada. Stupid Canada? Yeah.
So Canada takes down they work closely. Canada worked closely with NORAD, and the defense was it the defense secretary of Canada was also talking about how they monitored this balloon and when the. It got to a certain place, and in a joint effort between NORAD and United States, and yes, there were some Canadian Air Force that were involved. There were two planes from Canada that assisted in shooting down this balloon, this Chinese spy balloon. Not the spy balloon, the Chinese spy balloon that entered U.S. airspace on January 23rd at the Aleutian Islands, and then flew northeast into the Canada province, the northwest province, and then it continued its westerly movement and a little bit south in a southerly direction through Canada, and then entered the United States through Idaho. And I'm sure that's going to have to be changed soon, because it's probably not culturally correct to say the word Idaho. And I wasn't referring to Jean-Pierre. So this
Idaho.
Chinese what?
If Idaho What are you?
I'm from Canada. So this Chinese spy balloon then, of course, we all know, comes in and enters the United States for the second time. And Biden and the regime still do nothing. The Canadian regime did nothing and allowed a Chinese spy balloon to enter their airspace, fly through the Northwest Territory, and continue in an easterly direction. And the Canadian government did nothing. And then, of course, the U.S. government did nothing by the help of Joe Biden. And, of course, Sleepy Joe probably wasn't aware of what happened. So now this Chinese spy balloon enters the United States through Idaho, passes through Montana. They have to clear the airspace. Now it ends up, this Chinese spy balloon goes south, goes through Missouri and Kansas, and then starts moving further east, ends up going through North Carolina and exits out South Carolina. And 7 days later, 5 days through the continental United States, finally Joe Biden does something and has the balloon shot out of the sky. And of course, the phoniness of this whole thing is then to start lauding, you know, the military for their great action in shooting down this balloon. Well, wait a minute. Okay, that's their job, for one, and I have no doubt that our U.S. military is that talented. Okay, but why wasn't it shot down over the Aleutian Islands? Why wasn't it shot down over the Northwest Territory? Why wasn't it shot down when it reentered the United States and Idaho? That should be the question. But see, this is about distraction and deflection with Joe Biden and the Biden-Harris regime. The extremists in Washington, D.C. provide a constant distraction. And now we're being distracted yet again with another spy balloon that's entered. One has entered Canada, and the other one has entered the United States again via Lake Huron. Okay, so Al, I think that what the Joe Biden-Harris regime has figured out is that they needed distraction from what's really occurring in the United States. The fact is that gas prices are starting to rise once again at the pump. Why? Because Joe Biden and his feckless anti-American green hoax policies have caused a rapid rise in oil prices. We've all seen that over the last 24 months. But that rapid rise also in oil has also infected the transportation costs. So suddenly, you know, we're talking about the Hunter Biden laptop, okay, and the contents of it, where Hunter Biden comes out and finally, after 24 months, agrees and confirms that it is his laptop, and there's damning evidence on that laptop. So as this starts to gain traction, the corrupt Biden, or I should say the Biden regime, needs a distraction. And suddenly, balloons are entering the United States. We got a balloon that comes in the United States for 7 days. We got another balloon that comes in to Canada. Another balloon comes into to Lake Huron, again in the United States this weekend. And suddenly, we have this balloon fixation, and it's a great distraction from the lackluster and awful teleprompter reading last Tuesday, which was known as the State of the Union address. It fell flat. Joe Biden, and we talk about Joe Biden now because the New York Post had a great front page. Joe, LIEDEN, Joe Biden. And that's what his entire teleprompter reading at the State of the Union address was. It was one lie after another. And Joe Biden is a perfect description for Proverbs 6, okay? And if you go to Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19, they so aptly describe Joe Biden. Chapter Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 12 through 19, describe the wicked man. Okay, the verses 12 through 6 through 19 are titled The Wicked Man. And Proverbs defines the wicked man. Verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. That's pretty good for describing Biden. Verse 13, he winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. All three are true. Watch his eyes. He shuffles his feet. We watch him shuffle up to podiums or shuffle up and trip up stairs. And he points with his fingers. The wicked man, verse 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually, and he sows discord. And sowing discord is one of Joe Biden's best traits, sowing discord, fabrication, demonizing now Republicans, and of course, the idea is to go after Donald Trump, but not use Trump's name, just define Republicans under the MAGA party. Make America great is suddenly a bad thing for America. And it was an effective campaign tool from the destructive Democrat Party for the midterms. Okay? And it's about sowing discord. And that's what Joe Biden does best. He sows discord. Verse 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. One can only hope. The wicked man, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Verse 17, a proud look and lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, innocent blood, Afghanistan. Innocent blood, people dying crossing or attempting to cross the U.S. border. And then, of course, innocent blood, people dying in the streets of America under this woke cancer culture. A proud look. He stands at the podium and he tries to give you that proud look while he lies through his teeth. A lying tongue. Verse 18 under the wicked man. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. That's the only swiftness part of him. Joe Biden is an evil man. The big man on campus. The big man. The evil man. And finally, verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. That's Joe Biden to a T. And who would have thought that some 3,000 years later, we are actually witnessing Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 19, right before our eyes. And we're watching the destruction that this man has done and is doing to the United States of America. A great country, great people. We are proud to be Americans. And yet we have this little cancer in our country that seeks to divide us. Whether it's the Black National Anthem, whether it's anarchists, whether it's a uniparty government that seeks to drive a wedge in society, to pit the rich against the poor. But they need a facilitator for that, whether it was Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, who now is pulling the strings on Joe Biden. And there's a reason Joe Biden could never win the nomination of his party. Because he's not an honest man. Biden failed to support American manufacturing, the Wall Street Journal reports. The U.S. trade deficit for all of 2022 rose 12.2% to $948.1 billion, the widest gap on record. And I'm going to say this, Al. The one thing that really bothers me with the release of the China virus, and that is, when President Trump, back in 2009, late 2019, early 2020, brought to light the funding the United States taxpayer was subsidizing China to the tune of $535 billion a year in trade deficits. The Chinese government unwillingly went along with trying to close that trade gap. And they agreed to this record, trade deficit reduction between the United States and China. And some 12 to 14 days later, the China virus was released onto the world and into the United States. And we have not heard anything anymore about the trade deficit between the United States and China and communist China. And the fact is that the United States has been subsidizing communist China rapidly over the last 40 years to the tune of $535 billion in 2019. $535 billion. And now it turns out that Joe Biden lied to the American people during his teleprompter reading last Tuesday. And the Wall Street Journal confirms it. Not only have we continued subsidizing communist China, but our trade deficit overall with other countries has risen to $948.1 billion, the widest gap on record. And Biden, who speaks with a lying tongue, tries to sugarcoat this. And of course, the DNC state-run media doesn't challenge lying Biden with his facts, because they aren't facts. They're just meaningless cliches. Just like inflation. Inflation remains a problem despite Biden's assurance that he will get it under control. Inflation was still 6.5% in December of 2022, outstripping any increases in American wages. And I'll tell you what, each and every person who is retired, who's receiving Social Security, knows exactly that fact. An 8% increase in Social Security, and they've watched that 8% increase be rapidly eroded by rising prices, rising gas prices, rising oil, rising heating oil, rising natural gas prices, rising food prices, rising grocery prices. And then 8% continues to put our seniors behind the eight ball. So in the same month, the annual increase in wages is only 4.6%. And I'll end with this, Alan. We'll continue the discussion, but This annual increase in wages, don't be misled by this, okay? This is exactly what the Biden-Harris regime want, along with the non-governmental entity, the Federal Reserve. They do not want wages to be increased in the United States any longer. The Federal Reserve believes that wage inflation is a high contributor to the inflation that we're seeing today. This is how dishonest, okay, these people are. On one side of the mouth, one side of their lying tongues, they stand up and they say, we need a living wage. You know, you got Barney Fife Sanders out there. Well, we need living wage, $15, $20 an hour, $15 an hour. And the other side of the coin, you have the Federal Reserve under the Biden-Harris regime telling corporations and business owners not to raise wages in 2023, not to pay any bonuses, because wage inflation is a reason why we're seeing inflation as high as it is. This is how dishonest these people are. It's one scam after another with them.
Well, get a load of this. China owns, you know, our national, our U.S. national debt. China is the second largest holder. They own $1.9095 trillion of our total $28 trillion U.S. national debt. So why China's buying our U.S. bonds to sustain its trade surplus with the U.S. They're not doing it to help us, obviously. And
right.
China purchases our U.S. government bonds not to accommodate our needs. Instead, Beijing does so to continue running the current account surplus to provide domestic employment and relative domestic stability. But what they're not saying is that if China wants to call in their bonds at any time, they could put a serious financial hurting on the United States, which they may do at a time of their choosing. And the only person who holds more U.S. national debt is Japan, and they own $1.8 trillion. So the communist Chinese are the biggest debt holders, second biggest debt holders of U.S. paper. That's scary.
So basically, we have a $31.5 trillion debt. $2 trillion of that is owned by China. $1.8 trillion is owned by Japan. And the U.S. taxpayer now, thanks to the Federal Reserve hikes, are paying, what, $605 billion in interest a year.
Yeah, just to maintain that debt. It's kind of like your mortgage, but on steroids. Yeah, it's like your mortgage. So you got to make those interest payments so they'll take your house away.
And then, of course, you have illegal aliens who are pouring through our borders and, you know, the U.S. borders. We have an issue where states now are having to support illegal aliens. And you have some in Congress and on both sides of the political aisle now are talking about amnesty. Oh, it's only the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. We have borders. And we have a president and vice president who failed the American people. Record numbers, millions, 2 million, 3 million. I've heard a number, 5 million illegal aliens have poured through our southern borders. We've got terrorists coming in from Islamic countries who want to do nothing but harm to the United States. 160 countries have illegal aliens coming through our southern and northern borders. Yes, the northern borders are also as porous. A record 251,457 illegal aliens were caught crossing the border in December. There's also a disturbing surge in terror watch list members and sex offenders crossing the border. Fox News reported arrests of terror watch list members skyrocketed at the U.S. border from fewer than 10 annually under President Trump to 98 in 2022 under Lion Biden. So, you know, you have something where you've got a dereliction of duty by the man who's been installed as president, Joe Biden. And he lies to us on a daily basis. He's not kept his promises. And actually, his promises are meaningless cliches. They're empty slogans. You know, just like the slogan, if you earn over $400,000 a year, your taxes won't go up one penny. No, they've gone up by $5, $10, $15, $100, $2,000. So in that way, in his shallow mind, taxes won't go up one penny. They would go up by thousands of dollars, okay? And then regarding the opioid epidemic, you know, it's laughable, if not sickening, that Biden would even lie about such a horrible epidemic that's infected the United States, and that's the opioid epidemic. And Biden promised in 2022 speech to beat opioid epidemic. And again, he's failed. But he pounds his chest with his lying tongue to take credit for stopping the opioid coming in the United States. And that's crap. That's a flat-out lie. And who are the culprits now who are creating and manufacturing the fentanyl? Al, take a guess? Communist China.
China?
Yeah, thank
China.
You. China. China. Not Canada, but communist China.
And everybody knows it. It's not a mystery anymore.
You know, then you've got that one goofball representative, I forgot who it was, and it's one of the radical left-wingers who are stating it's Sheila Jackass Lee, I think it was, who stated that most of the drugs that are coming in to the United States are trafficked by American citizens. That's absolute hogwash. Communist China is providing the Mexican drug cartels with fentanyl. And enough fentanyl to kill every person in the United States. And where's the border czar? Okay? In name only, by the way. Where's the border czar? She cackles her way through, you know, serving as vice president and has done zero. Zilch, nada. And then we have to listen to the propaganda queen, you know, Donna Brazile talking about how smart, you know, communist Kamala Harris is, who's done nothing to help the border issue. But they don't want to help the border issue because as Al properly said, and I'll say it again, the reason why the illegal aliens are allowed to come through is because they're future Democrat Party voters, right?
Right.
It's disgusting what we're watching and witnessing today. And it all could be remedied. But unfortunately, Joe Biden has sold America out to the globalist movement, the global climate change hoax, the green scam. And they frame it in such a politically correct way of the new economy, the new American economy. Build back better. And it should be called build back broke. And somehow making America great is now a radical term. And imagine our founders, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and John Hancock, having to be called radicals because they believed in a United States of America. They believed in a country that would provide freedom and liberty for all. And we have a government now that is so out of control, that believes more in the globalist movement than it does in the American people and making America great and putting America first. I look at it and listen to the new Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's speeches, and all she wants to do is put Italy first. And there's nothing wrong with that because she believes in the Italian people. And somehow that's become radicalism. And somehow it's a form of radicalism to believe in the people of America, in the American in the American ingenuity, in the American worker. In the United States of America is somehow now a radical ideology. Because it doesn't comply with the globalist movement that we're witnessing through the World Economic Forum, through the New World Order, which the World Economic Forum is part of that. These elitists who descended on Davos, Switzerland, in their private jets are telling us that you don't have a right to own a vehicle in the United States, and you should walk or you should ride share because you shouldn't own a vehicle. And that's not the belief of just the Davos, Switzerland elite, but also the Washington, D.C. Uniparty, which includes Joe Biden, Lion Biden, and Kamala Harris, who are doing their best to break the American people, I believe. We shouldn't be witnessing this anarchy going along in great cities like New York City, like once great cities of New York City, or Oakland, California, or San Francisco, or Los Angeles, or St. Louis, Missouri. There is a lack of patriotism in this country when you have something like the NFL, who is shoving down this thing called a Black National Anthem down our throats. There is one national anthem. It is the Star Spangled Banner. Why? Because we are the United States of America. And irrespective of the left wing's efforts to demonize those that are on the right, to demonize conservatives, to demonize Republicans, it's time that we fight back and we tell these bastards that we're not going to take it anymore. And that's why I have to give props to Ana Paulina Luna for fighting back and for standing her ground and calling out the DNC Washington Post. That's just a little example of what's happening on a frequent basis in the United States of America. Because the left wing now has compromised the media in the United States. The left wing has compromised our energy policies in the United States for a global cause. And then they have the audacity to prance out a wicked man with a lying tongue to tell us that, oh, we have a new economy. It's going to be a green economy. We don't have anything in place right now to make any type of transition. Somehow, raping the earth of its minerals to make a fucking battery is somehow worse than fossil fuel. And I look at Giorgia Meloni out of Italy, who held up a paper of what's happening in an African country with children who are mining for lithium batteries. And they're making, what, $1 a day, $10 a day? And profits are going back to France so that they can make these EV vehicles, lithium batteries. We're going to take the entire world off of fossil fuels in place of lithium batteries, and we have no place to bury or recycle these batteries. We're going to rape the earth of all its minerals and create a natural disaster so that these green people can feel better about themselves. Well, President Trump in 3 short years had showed that America can be energy independent. And in 1 month, with a stroke of a pen, the destructive, brain-dead Biden took America off of energy independence, and we saw how inflation quickly rose in America, creating unsustainable debt, as Saul Alinsky prescribed in Rules for Radicals. And that's what we have today in Washington, D.C. We have a Marxist mentality to make people indentured to the federal government. And who's the federal government? It's the United States taxpayer. Money isn't free. We work our asses off for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And some people who have worked for 40 and 50 years are now having to work another 10 to 20 years because they can't keep up with the rate of inflation thanks to these left-wing radical globalist policies. America was on the correct road under Donald Trump, and all someone had to do is continue those policies, keep the southern border secured. It was already being secured. Keep America on energy independence to the point where we had enough fuel and oil for another 150 to 200 years. And guess what? With American ingenuity, the same belief that our founders had in 1776 applied today in 2021, that within the next 150 years, American ingenuity would devise an alternative fuel source. Many of us out here are going to be dead in the next 50 years. But you know, I am extremely confident that Americans will devise an alternative fuel source to where America can sensibly transition. But that's not what the global elitists want. They want control, and they want it immediately. And the Trump method of governance scared the absolute hell out of them. Because one, Trump made it look easy, but Trump put America on the correct track and back on track. And that wasn't good for the global cabal. That wasn't good to continue and maintain something called the United States Constitution. And we're watching the pure evil of government going after people for their speech, going after people for their religion, going after people for peaceably assembling, and yes, going after media outlets. Abridging all five components of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And then you've got the Sixth Amendment, the right to a speedy trial. Huh? How about those people who are accused under January 6th who are still in jail? And where is the outrage? Where is the their constitutional rights have been violated. And it seems to be okay because anybody who's on the right side of the aisle, you're ripe for picking. And you know what? Anna Paulina Luna, she actually felt it. She understands what the left wing is attempting to do. And she's in the crosshairs of the radical left wing Marxist ideology. And I hope that causes her to continue to remain awakened as to what the alternative is to our constitutional republic. Al, it's just what we're witnessing today and the lunacy that we're witnessing. I mean, you know, I don't want to jump, you know, too far around here, but you talk about the lunacy, okay? So, you know, immigration, migration seems to be the hot button all around the world, isn't it? I mean, migration is. We have a president and vice president who have done nothing to secure our borders. And then you have Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister, who puts the kibosh on forced migration by the European Union. And then there are countries like Germany and Sweden now who have bent over and have taken all of these migrant hits, okay? And Germany just issued a directive that an Afghan Muslim illegal migrant, child molester, can't be deported to Afghanistan because it's too dangerous. Okay? So you have an issue where you take in these Afghan migrants, okay, and they can't assimilate. They will not assimilate. They will not integrate into a lawful society. Okay, you can maintain your religion, your Islamic faith, okay, that's fine. But when you can't adhere to simple laws like molesting children, an asylum seeker, 31, abused a neighbor's children aged 6 and 8 years old. He was in custody, but now he cannot be deported, according to the authorities. His home country, Afghanistan, is too dangerous for the convicted child molester. Well, maybe the convicted child molester deserves what he gets, but certainly his criminality shouldn't be exposed to Germans any longer. There is no reason for this type of lawlessness, especially when it's stealing a child's innocence. You prosecute this scumbag to the fullest extent, and then you deport him, and you deport his entire family back to the country of origin. And you know what? If it means another death sentence in his home country, such as Afghanistan, so be it. Because the people in the Western civilization, okay, in a civilized society, should not have to tolerate this type of perversion, this type of lawlessness. Abuse a 6 and 8 year old child. And this guy's only 31 years old. Well, we can't deport him because Afghanistan is too violent. Really? Oh, so the lives of a 6 and 8 year old who now have been traumatized, their life is not important. And the fact is, you want to start sending a message? Either you integrate and you assimilate into our German society, or you're going to be sent back to your country of origin. And maybe it'll help, you know, and people starting to understand that the West is truly a civilized society. And if you can't contain yourself, then you will be sent back to your country of origin. and let the chips fall where they may, because you don't deserve the freedoms and liberties that the West culture affords you. And it has nothing to do with your religion either. Germany is not obstructing your ability to practice your religion. But when you're a freaking child molester and you're abusing children, oh, and by the way, you're illegally in the country of Germany.
Yeah, there's nothing lower. I think the problem is with Germany, because child molestation and sexual crimes amongst the illegal alien Middle Eastern peoples is higher than any other group. So, yeah, it happens. Yes, there's sexual crimes in other segments of the population, but there it is a big problem. And a lot of it comes from their sources saying that when you're in a non-Muslim land, it's okay to rape girls as young as 9 and non-Muslim women, so, and boys. So,
and boys, right. 77% of the rapes in Sweden are committed by 2% of the Muslim male population.
Mm-hmm.
77% of rapes in Sweden. And there's another issue right there. It's Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden is being overrun with this type of criminality.
Because rape's not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime, and the ramifications from it is that the men of Sweden it takes their manhood away. It makes them less of a threat further down the road, and it's a cultural beatdown is what it is by design. So,
Syria,
you can believe it or not. Yeah.
Well, go to Bare Naked Islam. Syrian Muslim migrant rapist receives the lightest possible sentences while avoiding deportation for brutal gang rape. Why have they avoided deportation? Why? They don't fit into Swedish society.
They don't fit into any Swedish society.
Well, that's true. But let Syria worry about that.
Yeah. But I think that's Germany's problem, and Germany's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Germany, France, Spain, Sweden, and Sweden at least is starting to fight back, but is it too late for Sweden to fight back?
Yeah. Yeah, the only country that's really doing it is Yugoslavia. They said no to Middle Eastern illegal aliens coming into their country.
They're in Hungary.
Yeah. Good for them. Poland, too, for that matter. A little bit. But
I was reading something in the Conservative Treehouse from the sights now are being set on Viktor Orban, and he's the Prime Minister of Hungary. And apparently, Samantha Power has been sent over to Europe in order to try and undermine Orban. So, I'm trying to find the story, and I'm talking, and just can't do both in the same.
Yeah, he survived his election despite Western influence, primarily from Clintonistas, just like the Clintonistas went after Bibi Netanyahu in Israel. They sent people to Israel to rally voters against Netanyahu. They tried to influence a foreign election, just like they're trying to do now with Orban. And they do it with impunity and without fear. It's disgusting, and I really wish that the Republicans would get on that and start filing charges against them, because you can't do that. It's bad for America.
Plus, I think it's a violation of maybe the Logan Act.
I think so. Details.
We got somebody with their hand up.
Once the rule of law is ignored, our whole country falls apart at the foundation. Welcome.
I'll get him on here in a second here. Hold on a second.
There we go.
All right. You got him? Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. What's your name and what's on your mind?
My name is Pianchi. You know, you talk about Sweden. Look at the crime that's going on here in the United States, in these major cities, these democratic arranged cities, by these black males. And I think I can talk about it because I am black.
Oh, don't got be racist
portion
now.
Of the you got black males make up, what, about 6% of the population? Then if you account for those that are young boys that can't even drive, you're talking about a very small percentage of the population that's committing all these crimes. All these
now,
crimes.
Let me ask you a question. Now, some reports are that we're talking about broken families and no father figures. Do you – I've heard what's the actor's name who stated that he grew up with both parents, a mother and a father, and the friends that he had that got into trouble were from a fatherless home. So would you agree with that?
Well, not as by I guess you can say unintended circumstances, because in many cases of time, the circumstances, the situation are intended. You know, I started keeping count of the shootings in Chicago back in 2020, and I based it on the reports in three newspapers, Chicago Times, Chicago Tribune, and ABC 7 Chicago. I started Memorial Day in May, and to the next Memorial Day, then the next Memorial Day, then this past Memorial Day. At first Memorial Day, you had like 4,845 blacks shot by other blacks. And the reason I made emphasis on that, because there's no white police shot nobody with 745 murders. I mean, just think about that. The next year, 4,666 shot with only 643 murders. And thus far, this from Memorial Day 2022 up until just here this week, you had I think it's 2,000. I tell you right here real quick. You had like 2,000. Here it come. 2,764 black shot in 248 days with 447 murders as of February the 3rd of this year.
So how do we fix this, you think?
I tell you how I fit it. I stayed the hell away from there.
I used to live in Chicago, I know. Could it be that the mayor and the DA and these criminals, and then with no bail release, they just let them right back out on the street? Do you think it might be by design, and by who
I think the makeup is by design, because the activists say they want to have black mayors, black police chief, black prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
You got in Illinois, the lieutenant governor is a black female. You got Attorney General for the state of Illinois. He's a black male. The Secretary of State's a black male. You got a black police chief. And you're still having all these problems. I mean, it's so bad that kids, and you know, and I feel sorry for the children. Children wearing bulletproof backpacks and run down the sidewalk zigzag. They're taught to run zigzag where they possibly won't get hit by a bullet. And nobody talks about this.
What about leaders in the black community?
They don't talk about it neither.
Benjamin
and that's
Crump,
not just
maybe.
He makes money off of it. Because I believe some of these families actually sacrifice the black sheep in their family to get a payday. I really do.
Mm-hmm. It's sad.
It is sad. And that's just one city. You ain't talking about St. Louis. You're not talking about Philadelphia. You're not talking about Baltimore, where out of 23 high schools, no students, I say it again, zelch students are proficient in math. And these are school districts that's ran by blacks in Democratic strongholds. That's a shame. If these children are not being educated, that presents a national security issue. There's nothing more easy to conquer than a bunch of dumb, ignorant people.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do your friends say when you bring up these statistics and this point of view on this subject matter?
I get called coon.
You called coon? Is that what you said? By who?
C-O-O-N, yes. Coon, Uncle Tom, traitors, and all those things.
Who calls you those vile?
By other blacks, yes. By other blacks. And even some whites. I go on some white liberal show, and they think I'm crazy. But that's the way they are.
That's got to hurt.
They like to lie, deny, and they evade. Yes, sir.
I mean that's got to hurt. I mean, getting stabbed by your enemies is one thing, but to be stabbed by your friends is five times more painful.
Well, they're not my friends. They go in the enemy column. And that's what you have to do.
What about your family? Yeah, even when your family?
Well, my family, I raised my kids. My kids are raised upright. And I didn't let my kids play with some other people's kids because it's like good apples, bad apples. And I think that's you need to have more of that done. You got to draw a line. You can't be trying to make friends, wearing yourself out till you're raggedy, trying to convince people about this, that, and the other, and they don't see it. Just leave them alone. I think that the states, which are countries, I think they should do the same thing. Draw a line around your state borders and leave these other states alone. They're not going to do right.
Hmm. Yeah.
What do you see as the biggest issue over the next, you know, two years with regards to education, especially with the black youth? And I'm glad that you're speaking out like this and you're concerned about them. And you have to be concerned about what's happening, especially what you see happening on a daily basis. What do you see happening in these? Do you think anything will be reversed or can be reversed in New York or St. Louis or Oakland?
You ever cut a tree down? All right, when a tree starts falling, it goes a little bit, you can stop it. It goes a little bit further, you can stop it. But once it reaches a certain point, you can't stop it. And I think we either there or getting very, very close to where it's not going to stop. One of the most dangerous things I see is this administration and their opening of these borders. And they're doing it and letting people – and seeing another thing, they are bringing these illegals in across state borders. The states got a right to control that. They can say, hell no. And they're doing this because they want to create new congressional districts by way of apportionment. The apportionment is when you count a number of people, then you create a congressional district, even if they are illegal. They may not be able to vote federally, but they can vote state and local if the state legislature or local government say so. And that's what they're doing. That's what them Democrats are doing. And not all. And here's another thing. You got some raggedy Republicans like that.
Yep.
O'Connell. He's a raggedy
yep.
son of a gun. His wife's father is communist, and she married to him in order to get access to whatever that they want from the U.S. in these pay-to-play. That's ridiculous.
You're speaking of Elaine Chao, who's married to Mitch McConnell. Yep, you're correct.
Yes, yes. Then you got Valerie Garrett and her dad. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Valerie Jarrett, I mean. It goes on and on. Yeah. Susan Rice is married to a Canadian whose father is in the timber business. And with him, they take down the tariffs for the import of soft woods into the United States from Canada. That hurt industries like that of Georgia. Trump put tariffs on them and stopped that crap. He put tariffs on Russia plate steel, which allowed USS Steel, Granite City, still in Illinois, southern Illinois, to reopen their plant to save a city that was dying because it depended on the consumerism from the people that worked at those plants. But no, they're about to close again.
Man, you are radical.
So you're
just too educated.
You got these illegals. Then you got the vagrant disregard of the U.S. Constitution, mm-hmm. and what goes on with these agencies and their attempt to try to do away with things like a Second Amendment. You got these ignorant fools that's out protesting against Supreme Court justice because they say, hey, you know, Supreme Court had no business authorizing same-sex marriage. Supreme Court had no business authorizing abortion at a federal. That's up to the states. And even interracial marriage, that's up to the states.
Yep.
And I'm going to say this too. Whites got to start saying it like it is. They got to start saying it like, I mean, just like you umpiring a ball game. If it's a damn strike, call it. If it nicked the plate, call it. It doesn't have to be a damn big softball coming down the middle to call it.
Yeah, but what's the biggest fear factor involved? The biggest fear factor
being called a racist.
There you go. And they
whites
figured
are scared
it out.
Of being called a racist
or an Islamophobe. The idea is to silence that dissenting voice. Or now it's disinformation. You notice how that's the new buzzword with the left wing and this the Biden Harris regime. It's called disinformation. You hit the nail
on the head
with regards to the parallel between baseball and an umpire. If you see it, if it's a strike, you call it a strike. That's not racism.
You're damn right you call it. You're damn right you're supposed to call it. Stop playing. I mean, we're down beyond the two-minute warning, I think. Now they're going after your kids with all this ridiculous stuff. They're going after your kids. And I'm going to tell you something. Of course, I don't have no – my grandson, I just got through working with him, getting him through college and everything. And he still got some more things to go through. I got to get him trained and tell him now it's time that you can have a weapon, properly trained on the usage and the safe handling and also through tactical use of. But you can't let these people – you got to take your kids away from these people because they're going to – they'll be turning you in at one point in time. And no child – and see, here's another thing. Your children have to know certain things. They should be grounded in the foundation of the United States in all the documents, from the Articles of Confederation, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They need to know these things. They need to be able – you should let your children make them watch war movies. All of them. That's what I made mine do. I made them watch war movies. Make them know who Andrew Jackson was. He was just not a president. He fought in the Revolutionary War, the Creek War, the War of 1812, the First Seminole War. And you got idiots wanting to take down the Andrew Jackson statue across from the White House. Teach them who George S. Patton was, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the rest, the Pacific Theater, the theater there in Italy. And we don't do that. And that's why they come up dumb. And they are actually attacking the United States themselves. So, you know, we have to make some – I don't know. Your children – you should take your grandchildren and sit them on the couch. They should be given assignments. They should be made to pledge allegiance to the flag, not lift their voice and sing. At least mine don't.
I love your thought process. I really do.
Yep.
Go ahead, Al.
That is a refreshing message.
Yeah, and we need to get more people involved in getting these next 15 states that's needed in order to have proposals for a convention of states. Because Congress people do not – the congressmen don't respect the damn laws. You got two constitutions, one with Supreme Court's presidents, and you got the Constitution, which is the original one. Judges don't make laws.
Correct.
And states don't have to abide by them. Did you know the federal government gets its powers from the states? That's it. If Congress passes an act and the states think it's unconstitutional, they can tell them we ain't going to do it. You can tell them you're not going to do it. And citizens of the state need to make their legislature call those damn Congress people back to the carpet and the U.S. senator. Matter of fact, they need to go back to assigning U.S. senators from the state legislature instead of putting it up to vote. So there's a lot of things need to be done. So I'm going to let you guys get back to your show. I'm sorry to be such interruption.
Don't apologize.
No,
that was
no
absolutely fantastic. We agree
you
on so many levels.
You need your own show. You need your own show.
All right, you guys carry on.
To be heard by everybody.
Thank you. Hey, yeah. Bianca, thank all you right. very much. Bye-bye. You stay safe out there.
Yeah, and call back again.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right, have a great week. Wow. And thank you. And boy, that was good to hear. I hope a lot of people were listening and parents are having problems with their kids. There's a lot of common sense right there with this caller.
What a great call. Absolutely. And he understands, he gets it. As he says, mm-hmm. I think the 17th Amendment should be repealed. But I think that we should go back to appointing the senators in the states instead of electing them. And then we won't be spending $300 million on a Senate race, $100 million on a Senate race, $200 million on a Senate race that pays $175,000 a year. He gets it. This man gets it. He understands it. You see, and this is what the liberals don't want. This is what the left-wing Marxists don't want. They don't want people like Bianca to be out there repeating this. Because it goes against their narrative. And like you said, I mean, how better of a description? If the ball is over the plate, you call it a strike. If it catches the plate and you're an umpire, you call it a strike. I mean, it's not difficult.
It's difficult to do because a lot of people don't have the wherewithal to do it. And our elected leaders don't have the will to do it.
No. And the objective of the left wing, and I'm going to include the Islamic movement in that because the Islamic movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, has put a boatload of money into the Democrat Party. Not the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party, because there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. But the left wing, the Muslim Brotherhood movement has established the words what? Islamophobia as a means to silence the opposition. And on the other side, on the Democrat Party side, okay, in the United States, the way that they silence individuals, to call them a racist. Everything's racist, you know. Ilhan Omar being taken off of House committees, that's racist, okay? Kevin McCarthy's a racist. The Republicans are racist, okay, because they don't agree with the left-wing radicalism, the left-wing anti-American radicalism, so therefore you must be a racist. Donald Trump was a racist, okay? You know, and a way to malign President Trump anymore, he wouldn't go, so now he's a racist. And that's the left-wing, you know, mentality in order to intimidate and instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers.
Yeah. Well, a quick story that is not getting much play. I'm sure that you heard about that Norfolk Southern rail car that derailed up in Ohio. You probably haven't heard too much about this story over the last week, but it is huge because 5 out of the 100 train cars that were derailed, 5 of them contained about a million pounds of toxic chemical. And the story is underreported, and within a 10-mile radius, these toxic fumes are killing fish, killing chickens, killing animals, cows. And during the Ohio cops, they arrested one of the news reporters, Evan Lambert, from the meeting room where they were giving updates on this event. And the EPA, now what they did is they burned this toxic liquid. It's called vinyl chloride, and they burned it rather than containing it and getting rid of it. And when they burned it, when it gets into the air, it becomes hydrochloride, which is even worse. So this thing is turning in. They're calling it the Chernobyl of Ohio. Pete Buttigieg, who is the transportation secretary, is nowhere to be found. President Biden is nowhere to be found. The Democrat governor, DeWine, said, oh, we've got it under control, which they don't, and he hasn't called in the feds yet to help with this cleanup, and it is turning into a disaster. So keep your eye on this story if you haven't been following it. This is going to be an important story, and the fact that it is being underreported is a, I don't know, it's a red flag in my book. So
is it that where they arrested, wasn't there a journalist who was arrested?
Yeah.
Evan
Lambert.
For trying to report? Okay, yes.
And it's on YouTube. You can watch the arrest. He's just there trying to do his job, and they end up cuffing him, taking him out, and charging him for trespassing. As another sheriff who knows the guy is apologizing to him up and down, going, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. But when the local government has the military coming in and trying to silence certain reporters, either there's more to the story about his behavior or there's something untoward that's trying to be hidden. So we just don't know, but it's definitely an underreported story to keep your eye on. And whenever you catch a news story about it, listen carefully, because this is not going away anytime soon.
Yes, the North. It looks like the North Fork Southern. Mm-hmm. I'm going to retweet it right now. There's a 1 minute and 29 second video of it, and animals are dying, fish are dying. It's a mess. It really is. This is the most corrupt administration ever. I'm sorry. This is
they try to sell themselves as the green team, and it's all about the environment. It's all about the children. It's all about green energy. Well, this is a this is pretty bad, and they don't seem to care.
Yeah, this is really bad. It doesn't
get worse than this. So, when they say they care about the environment, they don't care about the environment. They care about this so-called global warming and climate change, man-made climate change. It's not true. This is just a way to get a unfair distribution of wealth from one demographic to another. It's all about Marxism in action. And this derailment and how it's being handled, if you had any doubts, put those to rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And Pete Buttigieg is nowhere to be found. Didn't even talk about it over the weekend. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Pretty sick, these people. I'll tell you, maybe he's out breastfeeding his child. I'm not sure if that's what he's doing.
Hypocrites and idiots and Marxists.
Really quick, we only got 6 minutes left, get to the closing. Last week, really quick on the View, the nags on the View, Whoopi Goldberg absolutely spilled the beans of how fraudulent the left wing truly is. When they were talking about the CRT, it was after the teleprompter reading on Tuesday evening. They were commenting on Sarah Huckabee's rebuttal. And the Republican on The View was talking about CRT, and then Goldberg interrupted her, and she said, after going through a diatribe, she says, you know what, if you're scared of American history, I don't get it. So this is the same mentality here. The same left-wingers, I hope you're still listening, it's the same left-wingers who sit here and want to take out and have torn down statues of Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, Christopher Columbus, okay, because they're scared of American history. And yet it's Whoopi Goldberg who came out and said and was yelling at the Republican on the panel. And she said, you know what? If you're scared of American history, I don't get it. Well, this is what the left wing has done for the last 5 years in tearing down statues and rewriting history. What are you afraid of, Whoopi? What are you scared of? People, they're so fraudulent. It's unbelievable. All right. Oh, Wednesday night, tune in to the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show at 5:30 Eastern Time. Thursday, Hank is back. He's going to have another political show on Thursday evenings. I might do a Friday show. Andrew Harrod's not going to be in this week, so I might, and Annie is off, so I might do a show this Friday. I'll send out a tweet. Saturday, Minister Simon Dacduck and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen, if you want to understand Islam, there are two shows that where Eric from Kafiristan or Interfaith Dialogue and the Cross of the Crescent and Minister Simon Dacduck. And you want to talk about a person who is a threat to Islamists, and that would be Minister Dacduck. Usama speaks Arabic, and he speaks it fluently. Not only that, Usama knows the Bible backwards and forwards, plus he knows the Quran and had it transcribed into English. And if you've not had it, you can go to his website, and you can also pick up the accurate modern English translation of the Quran, Islam's holy book, the generous Quran. And you know, you've got Minister Simon Dacduck, who goes around the country and he's bullied by the Council on America's Islamic Relations, who tries to stem his voice to stop his free speech. So if you want to listen to someone who really understands Islam, check out Minister Simon Dacduck on Saturdays. Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Keep G-Ski and Dave in your prayers of Airways America. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and a sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, will be back February the 23rd, Friday at 1 p.m. Simone Nicole, you want a break from politics and Islam? Check out the Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Joshua does a fantastic job, great self-help. The music is it's eclectic, but, you know, but big, I got to tell you, puts the genius comes to music. I've never seen anybody who has such an eclectic knowledge of music than I have with Bigfoot. Man, he's great. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She's got a great show. Mr. Peig does a fantastic monologue, but check out Audrey Russo, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. She usually has about 3 or 4 guests and does a wonderful job. Check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. That's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Check it out. Puts together a great blog, world news, world, not just conservative or liberal, but world news. So thanks, Big. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you. Ducky Northwest, good to see you as well. Guff Dogs, HOV Radio, iGuy was in the house. Nice to see you, iGuy. And Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue. And prayers for you, Sue. And I want to thank everybody in the podcast who are listening, who hadn't logged in but are listening. Thank you all for joining us this evening. Al and I will be back next Monday evening, and we'll put out some shows if we'll be back later this week. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigo, and may the voices in Senator Fetterman's head go away. See you next week.
And thank you for the call, Piaki. Good night, folks. Be aware of your surroundings. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Ciao.
That's all, folks.
voices in John Fetterman's head. That was funny. Oh my God, that was hysterical. But I'm all right. I can go back to Senate.
God, how embarrassing.
Truly is. It truly is. You know, I wish you would have spent some more time on that that story in Ohio. That thing is, that train wreck is huge, huge.
Big time, and it's not going anywhere. We'll be able to talk about it next week. Same as this week.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You know, because look at, you know, Buttigieg was on a couple of shows over the weekend, and he didn't make one mention of it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm no expert on that stuff, but I can't believe that they set fire to the chemicals. I mean, maybe that's the best way to get rid of them or to break them down and make them, I don't know, non-toxic. But from everything I read, burning them just sent it into the air. A lot of these other chemicals, is it burned and then it chemically the bonds turn into something else that's even worse, and now it's being spread all over? I don't know. I can't see the city, the state of Ohio, being able to adequately clean up a chemical event like this in the middle of nowhere quickly without the government's help. I don't know.
And did you see the plumes that this thing put up and the
holy
fish?
Holy cow!
Oh yeah. My God! It looked like a nuclear, didn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. And then they were blowing up the cars so they would burn so that the contents would burn off. I don't know. Something about it just seems wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It seems really wrong. And you know, for all these leftists who are, where's the outrage from the left wing with regards to this? That's the other thing that bothers you the most. Dude, the hypocrisy that just surrounds this whole is incredible. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like all the garbage and clothes and debris and human waste that's all along the border now where these crossing zones are. All of the, the precious desert wildlife getting destroyed by all these people coming over. All of a sudden that doesn't matter.
Right. Correct. Doesn't
None
matter.
Of that matters.
I was wondering,
stupidity and idiocy all together.
I was wondering if Berkshire Hathaway owns the Norfolk, but I can't confirm that. I was just wondering who the owner was of that railway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just a stupid decision. Absolutely dumb decision, whoever made that decision to burn everything. The environmental toxins that are coming out of that thing is just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but there hasn't been a healthy debate from both sides over this last week and a half to even debate the issue. You really have to even learn about it. You got to really Google around and read all kinds of articles. It takes some effort to want to learn about what's happening. It's not being spoon-fed like everything else. And this should be spoon-fed to everybody in the national news.
Well, when the DNC state-run media wants to avoid an issue, they certainly know how to do it, don't they?
Yeah. Buttigieg, where the hell is he? He's the transportation secretary. This falls under that, like you said earlier. Pathetic.
Well, he's not going to go near there and a chance to get and be contaminated. Come on, man.
Crazy.
I know. All right.
Hey, Sue. I want to say goodnight. How are you? Sue, how are you?
Any better?
Well, yeah, a little better.
Hey, she's back. You sound much better than last week.
Oh, yeah. I got on antibiotics, so I'm doing a lot better.
Good. Good to hear.
Oh. All right, well, you continue to get better.
Your show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
What a great call, right? I mean, what a great call tonight. Loved it.
Yeah, it was. He was really great. I enjoyed him a lot. I hope
he needs his own show.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Well, have a nice evening. Unfortunately, I got to go as well. So you feel better.
Right.
You continue to feel better and take your medicine, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
Okay,
so have a great week. Okay.
You guys too. Bye.
All right. Good night.
All right, Al.
Later, Vito.
Have a good one.
Adios,
ciao,
amigo.
Man.